hope you have your Bible, to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. And thank you for letting me come be with you. I do regret not being with Pastor at the moment, but I'm glad for what he's doing right now. We must evangelize the entire world. That's an assignment given to us by the Lord. What an assignment. God has designed His people to rise to challenges. God has designed His people to rise to challenges. I know that's true. Why do I know it's true? Well, He gave us the biggest assignment, the biggest challenge you can imagine. Take the gospel to the whole world. Now you think about all the different topography, all the different rainforests, the deserts, the mountains, the valleys. I mean, then you add to that all the different cultures, all the different languages. Woo, friends, that's a big assignment. But God has designed His people to rise to these occasions, and so it's our job to further the gospel. Pioneering gospel work must be done. And, there's only one group of people that will do it. Will the atheists do it? No, they're not going to do it for God. They don't believe He even alive. There is a God, friends, but atheists don't believe that. But there is a God, and He's given it to God's people to get the job done. And so if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. So we've got to do it. So I'm very thankful that pastor's there. 1 Kings 13. I'm enjoying being with Brother Tyler. And then got another good pianist besides you, Brother Tyler. Miss Mara can play the piano. Did you hear that? Beautiful. And sings beautifully, all that. And choir, God bless you. Choir at 4:30 today. And you that want to join this choir, do it. Get involved today in this. And all these tubings and stuff, I'm not going, man. I watch y'all go out there and tube. I've learned some things. Man, I don't want to fall ever again in my life, okay? I don't want to do that. And so you enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it. And these young people enjoy it. I brought these CDs out there. Then Sings My Soul is new. And then there's children's CDs out there. They're any size donation. Good Christian music. There's one book. There's about four copies left. If you want one of those, I wish you'd get it. They're any size donation. Everything out there, just any size donation to Bible Truth Music. That'd be appreciated. I think it'll help you. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18. He... All right, that first word of 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18. He. Who is he? Well, he is an old preacher. He's an old prophet. He, this old man, this old believer, said unto him. Him is a young preacher. That word him represents a young preacher. So an old preacher is talking to a young preacher. An old believer is talking to a young believer. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. And then an absolute tragic sentence in the Bible. But he, the old man, lied unto him. The old preacher was lying. This passage, there's something for us to learn this morning. There's something for us to learn on every page of the Bible. And there's something for us to learn from this passage. Well, let me give you some background on the passage and just give some opening thoughts. Some folks believe that the longer you're saved, that it becomes almost no chance of spiritual failure. That is dangerous thinking. Now look, every Christian is supposed to mature as a Christian. All of us today need to take our next step forward in our walk with Christ, and we ought to all be growing Christians. Amen. The person in this room who's the most mature believer, you need to continue growing until you go meet Jesus. All of us, the spiritual babies in this room, the mid-sized Christian in this room, the mature believer, all of us must keep growing. But it's dangerous to start thinking, well, I'm so mature in Christ now. I've been saved for decades and decades, Brother Fox. You don't understand. I am so mature in Christ now. There's no chance of spiritual failure. That's dangerous. because, well, I want us to remember that there is a devil, and he loves for mature believers to lose their testimony. He loves for mature believers to become wayward and to become indifferent and to backslide on God. Terrible word, isn't backslide? And all of us have done it. Well, when we start thinking that there's no chance of spiritual failure because we've walked with God too long, there's a lot of presumption in that kind of thinking. Do things change in life? Well, just look at last year. Things changed, didn't they, in America? Change can happen fast in a person's life. And then there's a lot of pride in thinking there's no chance I'll fail God. Oh, be careful, beware. If we start thinking, I'm a pretty good Christian. Oh boy, when that pride begins to grow, it's almost a foregone conclusion that spiritual failure is around the corner. When pride lifts its up ugly head, mark it down, we're probably aiming for spiritual failure. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble, right? That's what the book says. You know, I'm a baby boomer. I like my group, us baby boomers. And I'm a baby of the baby boomers. I was at the end of that generation. Yeah. I'm in my very youthful older age. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We baby boomers can start trying to take a lot of credit for the good things that are in our country and the good things in the cause of Christ. We can start thinking, well, we really did some things. We need to be careful. It's God who gives all the increase. It's God who deserves all the glory. Amen to that. This old man here, we're going to see he messed up bad. Well, so what's going on in 1 Kings chapter 13? Well, Solomon has died. Well, in fact, you know, Saul, the first king, S-A-U-L, Saul, the first king, he commits suicide. It's terrible. He's one of six men in the Bible who committed suicide. Then David became the next king of Israel. Man, what a king he was. And now, he was an awful sinner, but he was a good repenter. Amen to that. And but then David dies. And then Solomon becomes king. And great peace during his time of being the king. And a lot of flourish in lots of arenas. But now Solomon has died. And now Solomon's son Rehoboam. Say it with me. Rehoboam. Rehoboam is trying to be the king now. He's trying to establish himself as the king. He's young. His dad Solomon had been a magnificent king, known around the world. Glorious time of Israel in many ways. Now Rehoboam is trying to establish his kingdom. And so he goes to the older citizens and says to them, tell me what kind of king I should be. And the older citizens said, oh, Rehoboam, we're happy you ask. Rehoboam, your dad was a magnificent king, but Rehoboam, your dad, it was very much a strain to serve under your dad. The taxes were high. The burden was enormous. Yes, we were kept safe and the temple is beautiful and glorious things took place, but Solomon, he was just so intrusive on our lives. The burden was so heavy. Rehoboam, as you try to establish yourself as king, Rehoboam, lighten the load. Okay, so Rehoboam hears that advice. Then Rehoboam decides he's going to go to his peers. P-E-E-R-S. Peers. The young people just as silly as him. Yeah. So he goes over there to the young people. I said, nah, I want some advice. I got some advice from the older folk, but what do you young folk think? I mean, they've got a lot of experience. Let's find out what the young folk say. Now look, I love young folk. I love them. But you don't go to a 14-year-old and say, hey, I'm going to be a granddad. Tell me some advice on how to be a granddad. Go to a granddad and ask for advice how to be a granddad, you know? Young people, they can't have the experience. It's not practical. They didn't have the right advice. Young people said, "Oh, Rehoboam, we got some advice for you. Get up there and say, you think the burden was heavy under my dad, it's going to be even heavier. In fact, my little pinky, tell them your little pinky is going to have more intrusion and more impact on their lives than your dad's leg." Well, Rehoboam, that appealed to him. Rehoboam said, "That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a more powerful king even than my dad." And so he went out and announced what he was going to do, and the kingdom divided. There's 12 tribes of Israel. And so the northern 10 tribes, they broke off out of the 12. 10 broke off and they became known as the northern kingdom. 10 tribes up here. 10 out of 12. 10 said, "No, Mr. Rehoboam, you're not going to be our king." Now, two little tribes down here said, "We don't like it, I suppose, but Rehoboam, we're going to stick with you. You'll be our king." And they became known as the southern kingdom. All right, down here is little two tribes. Up here is 10 tribes. Two tribes down here that Rehoboam retained. 10 tribes up here, brand new kingdom. And they needed a king. Now, Rehoboam is down here with these two kings, two tribes. Rehoboam has the two tribes. The 10 tribes, well, they've got them a king. His name sounds a lot like Rehoboam. Anybody know the name of the king? Yeah, Jeroboam. Jeroboam. Say it with me. Jeroboam. Yeah, got Jeroboam up here, these 10 tribes. Rehoboam down here. So, what kind of man was Jeroboam? He was a terrible king. Terrible. Evil. Wicked. Well, what did Jeroboam do that was so bad? Jeroboam instituted mandatory false religion. Had him some little worship centers. Had him some little idols made up. That these folk could worship these little idols and call that worship. Now, he's a terrible king. You know, I guess he just didn't want his people going down there to Jerusalem to worship, and so he'll set up his own religion, get his own priest, and set up all this mandatory false religion. Now, I want to go on record right here, right now, saying I hate false religion. I hate it. I despise it. Well, you mean, Brother Fox, you hate Muslims? No, I don't hate Muslims. No. I don't hate Muslims. I hate the Islamic faith. False religion's taking these Muslims straight to hell. God has put a love in my heart for Muslims. Well, what about the Hindus? I hate that Hindu faith. I hate the Mormon faith. The Jesus of the Mormon Bible is not the Jesus of this Bible. It's a different Jesus. I'm not serving that Jesus. I'm serving the Jesus of this Bible. I hate false religion. There's every kind of false religion you can imagine. There's 100 folk. There's a little over 100 folk on this earth right now claiming to be Jesus. How many of them are Jesus? None of them. And they've got people following them and worshiping them. And they're all false. It's all false. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in heaven right now, and He's coming back soon. I don't know when He's coming, but He's coming soon. It's at the door, the book of Matthew says. You believe in the imminent return of Christ? Yes, I do. Yes, that's what this book teaches. So Rehoboam, he said, "I'm going to raise everybody's taxes. The burden's going to be heavier. The kingdom divides up. 10 tribes go up here with Jeroboam. He institutes mandatory false religion." So then what happens? Well, God calls to duty a young preacher. Is God aware of all the false religion in the world? Including all the false religion in Ohio? Yeah. God's aware. God knows how many people are saved in our little place. Goshen, Ohio. God knows how many people saved in this area. He knows. He's fully aware. And God hates false religion. So God calls to duty a young, nameless, we don't know what his name was, a young preacher. God says, young preacher, I want you to go, and I want you to confront King Jeroboam about this false religion. This mandatory false religion that Jeroboam has instituted. Young preacher, go and confront him about it. Young preacher, get on your beast, go find Jeroboam, confront him. Young preacher, God says, get back on your beast and go home. Don't eat anything. Don't drink anything. God says, young preacher, get on your beast. Go confront the king. Get back on your beast. Don't eat anything. Don't drink anything. Go back home. Okay. Young preacher says, yes, sir, Lord. We'll go. And the young preacher, hallelujah. He gets on his beast and he goes to confront the king. And he finds the king. Yeah, that false worship center. He goes in there and there's the king. Now this took courage, friends. You think about it, this young preacher. This young preacher goes in there and boy, he confronts the king. Did the king like God's message about the false religion? No, the king did not. Jeroboam, he didn't like the sermon at all. In fact, old Jeroboam puts his arm out there, old King Jeroboam said, let me tell you something, young preacher boy. He puts his arm out to retaliate. Woo! God was watching. And God struck judgment on the king. And that king's arm withered up. Just dried up. Oh, preacher boy. Oh, preacher boy. I'm sorry for what I just said. Oh, preacher boy. Oh, God have mercy. Preacher boy, would you pray for me? I'm so sorry. Oh, preacher boy. Let me tell you something about the Lord. The Lord is benevolent. He's charitable. He's long-suffering. God is patient. He struck that king's arm dry up and wither up. And for a moment, the king has humbled himself. Now, humility pleases the Lord. And God restored the king's arm. Wow. It's amazing. If your arm got withered up like that and then God restored it, you'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, preacher boy, look at this. Amazing what God has done. Hallelujah. Yes. Preacher boy, what can I do for you? Preacher boy, you must be hungry. Preacher boy, you must be thirsty. Hey, let's bring him the best food. Let's bring him something good to drink. Hey, preacher boy, you're going to love it. What'd you say, preacher boy? Preacher boy, God said, don't eat anything or don't drink anything. Oh, come on, preacher boy. We got plenty of good food. We're going to feed you the best we've got. You're going to love it. Preacher boy, you're not going to eat any of our food? Preacher boy, you're not going to have something cool to drink? Preacher boy, you're supposed to just go back home? Okay, preacher boy, I'll see you, preacher boy. Thank you. I'm so glad my arm got restored. Thank God for me. And the preacher boy, he gets back on his beast and starts going home. Well, let me tell you what was happening. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. Oh, good, 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 good. There were some sons. There were some sons that had observed what had taken place. This young preacher boy comes in, confronts the king. King sets out to make some declarations against the preacher boy, and arm withers up, arm gets restored. And there were some people watching, including some sons. Some sons had been watching. Who were these sons? Well, there's an old preacher living right there in town. This old preacher's living right there. He's got some boys, and his boys over there at that false religious place, and they observed everything. And they went back to their dad. These boys went back into their dad, this old preacher man. These boys went back and said, "Dad, you should have seen what took place over there at the worship center today. Dad, you should have seen it. Oh, Dad, there's this young preacher came to town, and woo, he's in there, and he confronts the king, and the king sticks his arm out, and then God strikes judgment on his arm, and his arm dries up, and then God restored his arm, and Dad, you should have seen it. Oh, Dad, you should have seen it. Oh, Dad, it's amazing what God did. Dad, God is alive." These boys, I mean, Dad, God is real. God is real. And the dad, the old preacher, heard all that. Oh, is that so, boys? So a young preacher came over and confronted the king, you say. That's really something. That's interesting, boys. Where is this young preacher? Hey, boys, where is he? I want to go see him myself. Boys, get my beast ready. So you say he went out of town that direction? Get my animal ready, boys. I'm going to go find that preacher boy. And so then the old preacher goes out to find the young preacher. And they cross paths. And here's what, look back at the verse. Verse 18 is our text. He, this old preacher, said unto him, "I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him." Three little points of the sermon. Point number one, the lethargy that marked the old preacher's service. The lethargy. I use the word lethargy. Lethargic. You heard that word? Lethargic. The lethargy that marked the old man's service. What do you mean, Brother Fox? I'm talking about his inaction that had taken place now in his duty before the Lord. What do you mean inaction? Here's what I mean. You don't find any place in this passage that the old preacher has gone over there and said, "Hey, Jeroboam, this is false religion. We're not going to have false religion here in this country. Jeroboam, you're trying to institute mandatory false religion, and that's not right." You don't find the old preacher. You don't find him doing that. No. The old preacher, he's become inactive. He's silent. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it can be a sin to be silent? To not raise your voice can be a sin? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, hide under a bushel. No. No, we Christians can't be silent. Right now in America, it's not time for the Christian to go silent. It's not time for our church to be silent. It is not time for our church to be inactive. It is not time. And this old man, this old preacher, he's calmed down. He's just coasting along. He's not active. No. Why? Why is he so inactive? Is he tired? Somebody said about me the other day, said, this is, I don't know, a week or so ago, somebody said, "Brother Fox, for all these 27 years, has just worked tirelessly in the cause of Christ." That's not true. I'm tired. I've learned something. I've learned most of God's work gets done by very tired people. Yeah. You know, it's work. Didn't we sing it this morning? We'll work
Till Jesus comes, we'll work.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, is it a sin to rest? Praise God, it's not. God made us that we are limited. God's the one with all power. I have very, very limited power. God's the one with all power. Now, God's got a job for me to do. And I need to put my hand to that plow, and I need to be ubiquitous. Boy, there's a big word. I need to keep with it, man. Keep my hand to the plow and not look back. That's what that book says, isn't it? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God doesn't like quitters. But he's okay for us to rest. Man, the Sabbath day, read about it. Read about the Lord's day. That expression is only used one time in the Bible, the Lord's Day. I'm glad it's the Lord's Day. I love Sunday. I like them all, but I love Sunday, don't y'all? Y'all. I'm from the South. Y'all. Yeah. This old man settled down. Is he tired? Or is it he wants everybody to like him? Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you're normal, you want people to like you. I mean, none of you, I hope, are saying, I hope everybody in this room hates me. I hope all my family hates me. I hope my whole community hates me. You're weird, man, if you're thinking that way. You want people to like you. That's what all of us want. We want some people to love us. Do people always love Christians? No. There's times we're hated. I was flying back from the Philippines a few years ago. Oh, I love the Philippines. I love it. I wish I could tell you about that particular trip. So I'm flying home. So I flew from Manila to Beijing. I spent a little bit of time there in Beijing, China. And I love the Chinese. No, I don't like the communist part. But the Chinese people, I love them. God bless the Chinese folk. May they all get saved. But I flew to Beijing, and then I'm just flying, trying to get home. And so finally I got to Newark, New Jersey. I'm going to take that last little flight from Newark, New Jersey down to Norfolk, Virginia. I live in Virginia. Man, I'm going to be home. Be with my wife. Can't wait. Got on that last little plane. The plane would seat 37. How many we have on there? 37. Yeah. So I'm going to fly home. Got on that plane, and I'm talking to everybody, and they learned I'd been on a missions trip, and they were all like, yay, missionary, yay, wonderful, missionary, good. That's like a hero. And then one of the young ladies on that plane said, hey, preacher, I've got a question for you. Oh, what's that? She said, preacher, I'm about to get married. And my dad, preacher, I want all of us to have one glass of champagne at my wedding, and my dad said no. Now, preacher, wouldn't it be okay? I'm not talking about all of us getting drunk. I'm just talking about all of us have this one little toast of champagne. Preacher, wouldn't that be okay? I'm sitting in the very back row. I said, oh, young lady, whoo, I don't even know who your dad is, but I like him. Oh, I like your dad. Oh, your dad makes a lot of sense. Your dad is right, young lady. Woo! Yeah, the Bible's got 75 passages in it where it condemns alcoholic beverage, where it's warned against. I said, oh, your dad is right. I went on that plane from being, yay, missionary, to I went from a hero to a zero. Now, don't you want the evangelist to be true to the Bible, no matter if he's applauded or ridiculed? Yeah, the Christian just sticks with this book. Amen. And the world is starving for the truth. I wish I had time to preach an entire message right now against alcoholic beverage. I despise it. This old preacher in this passage that we're studying, man, Maybe he wants everybody to like him.
If he raised his voice against the false religion being instituted by the civic leader, by the king, if he institutes it, if I stand against the government, if I stand against false religion, everybody won't like me and I'll lose my influence. And okay. This old preacher has become lethargic. He's inactive. He's grown weary in well-doing. I'll tell you something. When people are filled with the Holy Ghost, hey, there's no such thing as being inactive when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. No, sir. And in this situation, a Christian, he launches. In this situation, a Christian speaks up. Listen, when God is leading and when God is directing and when there's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's always movement and there's always power and there's always people speaking the truth. And that's not the way the church has been doing lately in our country. Have you noticed? Is a marriage still between one man and one woman? According to this book, it is. Did our church design marriage? No, God did. God designed marriage. He wants to direct your marriage. He wants to lead you. He wants you to have a Christian home. Every home ought to be a Christian home. And listen, two men, that's not a marriage. And I've got people that hate me because I say that. But because people hate me, I need to stay with God. And you better stay with God. And you better keep speaking up. Speaking the truth in love. I don't hate people. I don't hate people. God has put a love in my heart for people. But I'm telling you, marriage is still between a man and a woman. Holiness is still right. Holiness. Holy living. It's still right. Purity is still right. Honesty is still right. Abortion is a sin. You know, even last month when I was in Georgia, I went to 12 churches in 1 week trying to make a difference in that election down there. Telling folks, I don't know how you can vote for anybody on any team that stands for abortion. I don't. It doesn't matter which team they're on. Abortion is not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. And we preachers and we Christians, we've got to stand up. And so parents, I implore you, I beg, please teach your children this Bible. Grandparents, still let your light shine. I'll tell you, grandparents have a big influence on the grandchildren. Every granddad ought to be a saved granddad, and the grandchildren ought to see granddad serving God. Amen. Well, so what happens? The sons come running in, and I see by what time it is that I'm not going to get out of point one this morning. I got more, so you come back tonight, okay? But give me a few more minutes right now. Look, the boys, this old preacher's boys came rushing in and said, "Dad, you just got to see this tremendous young man." And like a clap of thunder, Dad, he's under conviction. He knows I should have been the one over there. I should have been the one. The silence has now been broken. My own boys saw that God is real, and it wasn't because of me, it's because of this young preacher. The old preacher's condemned. He's fallen. He's messed up. What should the old preacher have done? He should have repented at that moment. He should have asked God for mercy. "Dear God, it should have been me. I have failed. God, would you forgive me and would you use me again?" That's not what we find the old preacher doing. He comes up with a scheme. We'll look at it tonight. Are you under conviction this morning? I know I am. There's nobody in this room who's done too much in the cause of Christ lately. If anything, we've done too little. You think we need to give up more gospel tracts? Yeah. You think all of us need to turn our light up our gospel light? You think we need to turn it up at work?
Yeah.
Yeah. They should all know that you're saved. I saw a young man get saved named Terry. T-E-R-R-Y. Terry. Terry got saved. He had long hair. Had about 17 earrings in, all that sort of thing. Well, by Sunday, he had gotten a haircut. And I didn't tell him anything about getting a haircut. Got a haircut. Took all of his earrings out. Came to church. Came to my church. And people who had graduated with him in high school. Terry comes in. They're like, sir, we're so glad to see you. He goes, well, I'm Terry. Don't you recognize me? Nobody recognized him. He really had become a new creature. Terry said to me one day, he said, Byron, I work over at that body shop. Byron, at lunchtime, would you come over and eat lunch with me? And me and you will just talk real loud about God and let all of them hear us. I said, oh, Terry. I said, how many guys work with you? I think it's 17 or something like that. I said, tell them all I'll buy lunch that day. And I got, I don't know, enough food for 20 because I was going to eat pretty hard that day. I took lunch over. Yeah. You know, while you're feeding lunch to guys, you can talk to them about the Lord. Terry testified during lunch break a little bit. Wayne got saved. Wayne began attending our church. Amen. What happened to you, Terry? You used to cuss all the time, Terry. What happened to you? I got saved. Terry runs bus route number 3 at our church. Amen. God can do that. God can do that with anyone. If we'll just let God work, would you stand? I want to ask our pianist to come and play that song.